Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of superheroes, another week of life, another week of glory with Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a pretty cool episode set up. It's one of the young, new X-Men. Kind of excited to get into it. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way, and then we'll jump right in. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive, YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. And YouTube is the absolute best way to reach out to me. I post shorts every day of superhero memes. I post a weekly superhero meme review. And I post the weekly superhero deep dive. It's a lot of fun. Right now, at the time of this recording, my channel on YouTube has over 6,000 subscribers. It's like 6,100. So I'm super excited. I love having conversations with you guys. But if you don't want to follow me on YouTube, that's fine. I understand. I'm a little sad, but I respect it. You can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. This is if you have any questions, comments, critiques, facts I may have missed, things about the characters that you would do, things you would tweak on the characters, you know, stuff like that. Or if you have requests for future episodes. I love hearing about it. I love having conversations with you guys. So yeah, it's just a matter of, do you want to be part of the community or not? I hope you do, because I want you to be a part of the community. So this week I am going to be covering Mercury from the X-Men, or from the new X-Men, the young X-Men, rambunctious X-Men, whatever you want to call them. Oh, but before I do, superhero fun fact! The Hellions were originally a team of teenage mutants who were recruited by the powerful telepath Emma Frost and trained educationally and in the use of their powers at her private school, the Massachusetts Academy. They were basically the mirror images of the New Mutants when they came out. So, you know, it was kind of like, I guess they figured the New Mutants were kind of like the high school, so they wanted a rival team, and the Hellions were it. Now, Mercury, her real name is Cecily Kincaid. She's an Irish-American, was raised in Portland, Oregon, by her parents Mark and Jill, who used to dote over her. When Cecily's powers manifested, her parents were disgusted and made her stay indoors as to hide her mutation. In response, she was sent to the Xavier Institute, where she befriended Julian Keller and was placed as Lori Collins' roommate for a while. After the school was rebuilt, she was selected by Emma Frost to be on her Hellion squad. Now, she's extremely close to Santo Viraco and Julian Keller, whom she spends most of her time with and looks upon like big brothers. That sucks, because they're immediately friend-zoned at that point. Just saying. During that time, she develops a crush on her teammate Wither, but her feelings were not reciprocated. Now, Wither was pretty cool. Wither could touch things and, like, decay them, but it was organic matter. And so it constantly made him depressed, and that's why feelings weren't reciprocated. He was just too emo for that. Now, the Hellion Squad, they won the squad challenge held between various young mutant squads in the Xavier Institute, and during their summer vacation, they traveled with Julian to his home. There, they encountered the Kingmaker, for whom they each received a trial wish. Cecily's wish was to have her parents accept and love her, a wish the Kingmaker granted by manipulating her parents with telepaths. When the Hellions eventually refused a permanent deal with the Kingmaker, Cecily's parents reverted to normal and Cecily returned to the Institute defeated. After the events of M-Day, only 27 students were left with their powers, including Cecily, although she would have preferred to lose her powers and was devastated that she did not. The depowered students and staff were sent home, and one bus was bombed by an anti-mutant religious zealot, Reverend William Stryker, and Cecily's former teammate and friend Tag was among those taken care of. The X-Men held a funeral for those whose parents would not accept them, and Cecily's anguish was very, very visible. All of the remaining students were placed by Emma Frost into an all-out brawl, and the ones deemed to be the best were the ones to be assigned to become a group of in-training X-Men. Cecily made the team and began training to become one of those X-Men. In the Childhood's End arc, Cecily and the new X-Men defeated Stryker, with Josh taking care of him. Shortly afterwards, the team went to help Forge, who had been sought out by Nimrod for repair. During the skirmish, X-23 was forced to sever a piece of Mercury's hand to separate her from Nimrod. She later commented that she'd always wanted to lose a few pounds, and the team successfully defeated the robot due to combining the powers of Surge, Mercury, and X-23, and Nimrod was then sent back to his own time. After learning of Emma Frost's plans to have X-23 leave the school, Cecily takes Laura to Salem Center for coffee and to cool Laura down. Just as Cecily realizes that Laura has feelings for Hellion, the coffee shop explodes. Facility agents led by Laura's former handler, Kimura, come for one of them. Laura, believing it is her, begs Cecily to leave, but not before Kimura shoots Cecily with an electric bullet, incapacitating her. After capturing Cecily, Kimura leaves before Laura can recuperate from a grenade blast at the lab. Jeez, it's a little bit much, isn't it? Alright, I'm sorry, from a grenade blast, but at the lab, Cecily questions who they are and what they want, but is given no answers. When she replies that her friends will come for her, Kimura informs that the elephant, which is Memomax, said the same thing while showing a picture of his corpse in a cell. Wow, before passing away, Stryker had requested a living weapon be made, a huge beast called Predator X. Mercury's metal skin was needed to give it added powers and durability. The facility scientist stripped some of Mercury's biometal, granting Predator X her powers. The experiments leave her physically and mentally traumatized, forcing her to recuperate for some time at the Institute. She eventually regains some of her lost mass. Now, Mercury is recovering in bed from what happened to her in the last arc when the students are teleported to Limbo. She's held captive by Belasco but breaks free after he takes care of X-23. She and Dust go up against Belasco and keep getting beaten down, but refuse to give up as both their mutant bodies are resistant to his magic, and fight an inconclusive battle until Darkchild and the other students arrive, teleported by Pixie. Mercury continues to fight alongside the other students, but can only watch as Belasco fends them off and proceeds to pull Earth into Limbo as he is defeated by Darkchild and Pixie. Mercury is one of the students that intercepts the Hulk. Mercury helps in keeping Hulk pinned down in the first attack, but is knocked away. When X-23 blinds him, she joins in, taking him down alongside Surge, Beast, and X-23, but they are all knocked away when Hulk's eyes grow back. Mercury gets back up and attacks him from behind, but Hulk grabs her and squishes her against the ground. Later, while the rest of the X-Men are still defeated from the Hulk's attack, Mercury tries one more time to defeat the rampaging Green Goliath. During the course of the battle, the Hulk was shown the recent graveyards of all the deceased mutants that died after M-Day. Mercury then describes in detail the deaths of Lori Collins and Brian Cruz, causing the Hulk to understand his self-righteous tantrum is wrongly directed towards Xavier's affiliation with the Illuminati. Seeing these graveyards reminds the Hulk of his fallen companions on Sakaar, and with that understanding, he leaves Xavier unharmed. That's insane. She went toe-to-toe against the Hulk and just kept getting up. Like, that's amazing to hear. Cecily still maintains her disapproval and distrust of Emma Frost after overhearing her conversation with X-23 during the Mercury falling arc. She also feels that Emma has carelessly lost track of Wither and constantly reminds her of the fact that Kevin is no longer in the school or under her surveillance. Mercury has also been deeply affected by the events of Decimation, as depicted in the Endangered Species miniseries. She's distraught by the deaths of a teenage civilian mutant and is one of the students at the Institute trying to determine the youngest mutant, as she believes that the youngest mutant always tends to be taken care of. Mercury later comforts X-23 after she ran off and wrecked the woman's restroom in rage due to Surge kissing Hellion, and is later seen hanging out with her and Dust. Wow, that's insane. Let's see here. Mercury is one of the new X-Men led by Surge that launch a strike against the Purifiers to incapacitate them and rescue the mutant baby. After Hellion is critically wounded by Lady Deathstrike, Pixie panics and blindly teleports the entire team out of the Purifiers' base, spreading them out between Washington and New York. It does not appear that Cecily suffered any lasting injuries as a result. Iceman arrives with the X-Jet to bring them back to the mansion, and she helps to stabilize Hellion and the X-Jet on the way back to the mansion. Later, she goes with Dust and Rockslide to visit the graveyard, and they discover that Predator X has entered the mansion grounds. Mercury battles the monster with the rest of the mutants, or with the rest of the students, and is transported by Pixie, along with the other new X-Men, to the battle between the X-Teams and Sinister's forces on Muir Isle. Cecily is among the several X-Men helping to fight off the Skrulls during their invasion of San Francisco. And Mercury and X-23 are walking down Fisherman's Wharf when X-23 realizes that Mercury is upset. Mercury misses her parents and feels like a freak because they were disgusted when her powers manifested. While playing with Silly Putty, she comments, "I'm like this stuff, a blob of malleable goop. Doesn't matter, metal or clay, we're one and the same. You fool yourself and think it's like magic. You can change shape at will. There's freedom in making yourself into anything you can imagine. Until you realize that no matter what, you're still a metal freak. You don't have skin. You're not a person. You're not human." And she said this in X-Men Manifest Destiny number 4. That's a pretty deep realization. It's not completely true, but it is a really deep realization. They are then attacked by 3 members of the Hellfire Cult, and Mercury takes them all out. X-23 points out she is more than just lifeless metal. She is a person and a hero, and to put her past behind her and look at who she is now. She just might like what she sees. Mercury and Rockslide are watching a training session between Pixie and Nightcrawler when Pixie stabs Kurt with her soul dagger. They run in and move Pixie away from Kurt's unconscious body, and Beast enters and Pixie regains her senses. When she removes her dagger, Magic Soul Sword emerges from his chest and Magic teleports in, ready to reclaim her sword. Mercury engages Magic in combat and manages to stab her in the shoulder. Illyana responds by blowing her up, noting that she has some immunity to magic, but is not invulnerable. After she reforms, she is placed on a team of X-Men being sent to Limbo along with Rockslide due to their resistance to magic. Upon entering Limbo, the team fights their way through many demons. Pixie senses the darkness within her suddenly growing, and she teleports off to Belasco's castle by herself. Hearing the screams from the castle, Kurt teleports the X-Men into the throne room. Once there, Witchfire turns Colossus and Wolverine against Mercury and Rockslide, who get taken out, leaving Kurt the last X-Man standing. Mercury, along with fellow students Onyx and Loa, was tasked with keeping peace at the riots on Telegraph Hill after the mutant hate group Humanity Now marched from Sacramento to San Francisco to promote Proposition X, displeasing many citizens of San Francisco, mutant and non-mutant alike. After the riot subsided on Telegraph Hill, Cyclops came and picked them up, taking them to City Hall. During the final battle against Norman Osborn's forces, along with Iceman and many of the other X-students, she takes on Mimic. Man, I tell you, like, in reading her history, and I don't have much more history to go, this lady is a beast. Alright, after Osborn's defeat by the X-Men in the official creation of Utopia, Mercury is involved in a media tug-of-war between Norman Osborn, her biological father, and her claims that she is being held captive against her will. Although she confronts her father over the phone during a live television broadcast and disputes his claims, going as far as to call him a bad father, her situation gets more complicated as Deadpool intervenes. Deadpool is not going to fix a situation. At least not at first. It is not going to get easier when Deadpool shows up. If anything, it gets more complicated. At its best, it just stays where it is. But, I mean, it's... yeah. Alright, believing that he is doing them a favor, he attempts to take care of Mr. Kincaid on live television, only to be stopped by Domino. However, Deadpool is still attempting to follow through and take care of Mercury's father. In the meantime, the X-Men plan on having Mercury declared an emancipated minor in order to counter Osborn. Kincaid is later saved from sniper fire in front of the media by Wolverine, thus restoring the X-Men's damaged reputations. He confesses in an interview to the aforementioned witnesses that Norman Osborn put him up to everything. Now, the following storyline created some continuity errors, as it was implied that Mr. Kincaid had been an absentee father for most of Mercury's life, and it also implied that he was divorced or separated from Mercury's mother. This is in direct conflict from the Hellions miniseries, which showed both Mercury's parents living together happily. Furthermore, in a new X-Men flashback during the Mercury Rising storyline, it showed a concerned father discovering Cecily during an onset of her mutation. You know, just because he's there. Like, they doted on her from her history, right? Like, they doted on her until her mutant abilities showed up. Then, maybe that's when they became kind of like absentee parents. I don't know. But what do you guys think of her history? Like, this is kind of insane, right? Like I said, catch me on social media. Let me know what you think. You can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive, where I post this every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. I love reading the comments, so follow, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive and X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. Whew! Let me get into her powers. Okay, the body of Mercury is composed of a non-toxic metal resembling mercury. She can reshape or solidify it at will, and her molecular adhesion power grants her the ability to cling to solid surfaces and move her body at will. She's demonstrated superhuman strength by supporting huge slabs of concrete. She also possesses superhuman durability owing to her mercury form. Mercury does not require food or drink due to her composition, and she's one of the few people who can touch with her as her body is not considered organic. Her inorganic body has also made her immune to the pheromone-based powers of Wallflower and was placed as her roommate. She can also control pieces of her liquid mercury and has the potential to bring it back to her. It's usually forcefully separated from her body. Her liquid mercury turns into dead flesh. Okay, so if it's forcefully removed, it can die. And maybe that's like a kind of a telepathic thing. I'm not sure. But that's demonstrated during the facility's experiments. Some of her mercury has been separated as living mercury tissue and was used for Predator X's skin. She is currently less than her original mass, as she states that when Laura cut off her hands to save her during a fight with Nimrod, she lost a few pounds. Additionally, she has some resistance to magic due to her transient form. So that's just awesome. Like, that's a little bit of insanity. I'm digging it. All right, fun facts. Deirdre Kay of Scary Mommy called Mercury a role model and a truly heroic female character. Sportskeeda ranked Mercury 5th in their cool, 5 coolest comic book characters with elastic abilities list. That's such a weird list. MovieWeb ranked Mercury 7th in their 8 LGBTQ plus Marvel Comics characters that need to be in the MCU list. Mercury is actually bisexual. Mercury makes non-speaking appearances in Wolverine and the X-Men as a resident of Genosha and member of Magneto's acolytes. And Mercury appears in early concept art for X-Men Days of Future Past. So if you notice, like, that whole LGBTQ thing, the thing I like is it's not really been talked about in her storylines and stuff, like, and I think that's the right thing to do. It's important to have representation, don't get me wrong. Like, I am all about that, and I have full respect for it. What I'm saying, though, is that doesn't need to be her identity. She is someone that is struggling with being a mutant, with being, not feeling like she's actually human. Her sexuality is a part of who she is, but it's not who she is, and I like that. So kudos. To me, that's doing a character justice. That's doing it the right way. Okay. But what are my final thoughts on this character? What does this character need? What can really help push them forward? Now, when I first read the new X-Men, I was immediately drawn to Mercury. Like, she was such a cool character, and I think that she reflected her personality and powers really well. Like, when she was young, she grew up as a cheerleader. She would stereotypically try to fit in wherever she was. And with being a cheerleader, there was at least a small part of her that liked getting attention. So being malleable and shiny kind of fit into this mold quite nicely, right? Like, you can be what you need to be in the crowd. You're shiny, so you're getting that attention. You're getting eyes on you. To me, it's just psychologically, it plays out. But with that being said, what could be done with this character? Does she have mainstream appeal? I think she absolutely does. Like, I'm not sure she's really cut out for something live action, because special effects are going to make it look weird. But with animation, I think she'd be awesome. And she definitely deserves to be the main character in a comic series, in my opinion. Like, there's so much you can do with the character, especially with her attitude. I mean, she got her hands cut off, and she was like, yeah, I can lose a few pounds. I mean, come on. Like, that's insane. But she's also got a spirit about her that could really bring readers or viewers in if they did it properly, because she's got this great attitude. Like, I mean, there's... To me, she's got the whole package. She's got what she needs to be elevated to the next level. It's just, the bad thing is with her powers, you can't really show them live action very well. All those liquid metal forms, they all look really cringe on TV. I think I said that correctly. But that's what I think. I would love to know what you guys think. Once again, you can email me directly if you'd like. It's b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. And I'm on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Join my YouTube community. I have over 6,000 subscribers. It's growing all the time, and I'm so thankful for that. I'd love to have you guys in. I'd love to, because when you make comments, other people can comment on them. I can respond to them. All I ask is that we keep it respectful, and that's all I ever really ask. But I'm open to opinions. I'm open when people say they don't like the memes I posted, or if they have different ideas for the characters. I love hearing about it. I don't mind being disagreed with. All I ask is you be respectful, right? I think that's all we can do. But guys, I think that's going to be it for me. I want to thank you guys so much. I hope you're all blessed. I hope you're all happy. I hope you're all safe. And I hope you're all smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. And I will see you next week. Bye-bye.